Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is proudly sponsored by the great site virtualmickey.com. This is your one-stop shop to go grab some great Walt Disney World apps to make your iOS device awesome. I recommend Days to Go WDW because it lets you count down the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, as I glance down at my iPhone 5, man, I love saying this. I see the number 2. 2 days to go until we leave this Friday for Walt Disney World and an awesome Disney cruise. We have been excited over the last few months. Every day that we wake up, I show my phone to Pam and Paige and Mallory, and we talk about the good times we're going to have down at Walt Disney World. And you can do the same thing. Think about it. Your mobile device is in your hand all the time. This is a great reminder to get you excited for that next trip. Check them out today. They're over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 716 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you, and thank you so much for coming back and grabbing another One Commute Question Show. This is the show that is driven by you, the listener, by sending in your questions for the good of all of our listeners. Send those into MikeBeOurGuestPodcast.com. We'll answer your questions right away, and we'll all get a little bit smarter and plan a better Disney vacation. Now, joining me today to answer your listener questions, and this is quite weird because she is here in the studio, and I'm used to being here in the studio by myself, but right over my shoulder from touringplans.com, DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, and the Magically Speaking e-newsletter, we have Ricky. What's up, Ricky? Can't blame Skype because you're sitting 1 foot from me.
I can kick you.
Which you is could.
Nice.
I know.
I'm kicking you right now, so this is nice.
So what's up?
It's a lovely day. I'm here with you, and I'm ready to answer listener questions, so that's pretty much it.
Good deal. Well, this is our first time back together recording since the events of 1 week ago today, where we had the 12-hour live show to benefit Give Kids the World Village. And just one more time, I'd like to thank everybody who took the time to listen, and especially those folks who donated to the great cause down at Give Kids the World. We were lucky enough, due to your compassion and generosity, to raise over $12,000 in 12 hours. And, you know, beyond that, that's just a ton of money that's going to help so many families escape this rough time they're having in their lives. But also the folks who go down there and, give their time to Give Kids the World during their Disney vacations. And also, we got an email this week from a friend of the show who decided, because of the show last week, they're going to have $20 deducted out of their payroll check every time they get paid. And it's going to go directly to Give Kids the World for an indefinite amount of time. So, you know, they said that they just want to help where they can. And when you think about it, last Wednesday, we changed a lot of lives. We took away a little bit of pain from some folks. And because of that, you know, the world's a little bit better place. So I just want to thank everybody. And Ricky, I know that's kind of your baby schedule and everything. So thank you for your efforts with that as well.
Thank you. And it really is a group effort. So, I mean, you know, it's not, you know, everybody contributes. So thank you to everybody. And, you know, it's just amazing how much we raised. It's incredible. And, just if you want to donate, you still can. So just go to the Be Our Guest podcast homepage. You'll see the link for friend feed and or not friend feed. First giving. That's what it is. Too many F's. And you'll be able to still donate. So don't think just because we reached our goal that, you know, oh, hey, well, they reached their goal. Well, I guess they don't need any more donations. No. We can still take donations. You're fine. So please donate.
That's right. BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Check that out. And now it's getting on with the show. From MakingMagicAndMemories.com, we have Debbie. Happy Wednesday. Debbie, it's hotter in St. Louis than it is in Florida right now.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. I mean, we've been hit with so many thunderstorms. I mean, like, we're talking gully washers. So
gully washers.
I'm expecting you guys to probably get hit with that, too, if it's anything like the weather here. But it was so funny at work today. I actually left a little bit early. I started getting migraines. For the last 4 or 5 days, I started getting really bad headaches and my jaw pops. So I keep telling people, bring your umbrella. It's going to rain again.
You're like the guy in
Carousel of
Progress.
And sure enough, it does.
Nice. Yeah. Keep me up to date with the forecast. I'll be down in 2 days. Let me know how your head and neck and jaw and everything's working.
So far, it's not doing very well, so bring your umbrella and your poncho.
All right.
I will. All right. Also joining us, she's the co-owner of The Magic for Less Travel. We have Pam Forrester. What's up, Pam?
Yay! I'm so happy about the Give Kids the World thing, about the amount of money we raised. Honestly, I never, ever would have thought it would be that much. So that's awesome. Very, very cool. So still kind of riding on a cloud about that one.
I know, me too. Like, I went out for a run the next morning, and I was just like, this is like the greatest run ever, just because I couldn't believe that happened the night before. You know, it's mm-hmm. one of those things, you wake up in the morning and like, did that really happen? Because mm-hmm. I didn't sleep right. The day, a couple days before. I never do, because it's always like the biggest deal of the year. So lots of fun and definitely helping folks out. So let's get to the listener questions. Yeah. That is why you are here. First question comes from Peter Hobson. He says, hey, gang, I would like to pose a question that you might like answering. So it looks like we might like answering this question. We'll see. You have to sign a 5-year contract. You can either do a 6-night cruise once a year, just your normal trip that you would always do, or a 6-night Disney World trip, same as you would always do. If you could only do one or the other once a year for the next 5 years, what would you choose? Thanks for everything you do in the Disney community. Pete Hobson. All right, tough question here. So you got to sign a contract. You are going to have to exclude one and go exclusively with the other. You get to go on a 6-night cruise. I guess we could say 7-night cruise maybe, or a 6-night or 7-night Disney World trip. But you can only do one for 5 consecutive years. All right, Debbie, I know you're not much into cruising, so I think that's why I'm going to start with you. But what would you pick?
Yeah, I think cruising's awesome, but I would pick the Walt Disney World trip. Because you could do so much. It's a lot more versatile. You could just do so many different things. And I personally would do that. If I got to pick my time of year, it would be the Christmas time.
All right, Pam, what would you do?
Oh, man.
This is a tough call.
This is like Sophie's Choice,
this is
right?
So hard. It's really not a fair question. I do not like answering it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Pete.
Anyways, I think I will stick with Walt Disney World just because... on the cruise ships, as much as I love that vacation and I find it much more relaxing than a Disney vacation, there's always something new and changing at Walt Disney World. And I think I would just absolutely go nuts if I wasn't able to see all that new stuff for 5 years. So that's really influencing my decision. So I'm going to say the world.
You know, if you signed that contract today, you'd still probably be back at your destination before Avatar Land comes
online. Yeah, no kidding.
You'd be good.
Yeah, that's very true.
Just kidding. All right, Ricky, what are you going to do?
I think I'm doing Walt Disney World too. Because I can relax there just like I would relax at, you know, on the cruise. So, I think that's what I would do. Although I would miss the all you can eat food. That would be.
That's true.
Yeah, that's kind of a bummer, but yeah, I think I would go Walt Disney World.
Now, see, if I got to pick, like, you know, your ship. Say I got a Fantasy cruise every year for 5 years. I would take the Disney Cruise Line and go on the cruise once a year. And because the thing is the renewal, kind of like Pam said, if I walked away from Walt Disney World for 5 years and went back, even the stuff that is kind of, you know, and this sounds so terrible, but we get to, you know, getting to go twice or three times a year now. You know, some of the stuff just isn't as fresh as it could be. But I mean, if you walked away from it for 5 years and then came back, everything would be fresh again. And then you would have, hopefully, you know, they would have a lot of new things online in 5 years that would be brand new to you. So, and you just can't argue with Disney Cruise Line, because you could go to different destinations, hopefully. You know, maybe you could go see Europe on one of the cruises. Maybe you go see the Caribbean. You know, I've never done Eastern. I've done Western a few times. You know, just go places you've never sailed. You know, maybe Hawaii on the Disney Cruise Line. So, you guys know I'm a huge, huge cruise person. So, great question, Pete, but I am a cruising, but the ladies are going to the
Darn,
world.
But you brought up such good points. Maybe I will go back. I can't decide now.
Oh, just
no,
saying.
You did make a good point. We'll send you a postcard, though, Mike.
That's right. Do that. All right. So, let's see. Next question comes from Thomas Urbane. He says, hello, BOGP friends. First, I want to tell you that it was a pleasure meeting all of you in World Showcase this past October. My son really thought that was cool that we got to meet celebrities again on that trip. We met Lou Mangiello the year before. So, okay, Lou's a celebrity more than us, maybe. Or maybe we're just throwing around the term celebrity in a very, very loose fashion there, Thomas. I don't know. But we appreciate that. And that's cool that your son enjoyed meeting us. That I got a huge kick out of that. All right. So he says... I attached two pictures for you to see, and those pictures are very, very cute. I was trying to wait and call into your live show at the end of April, but it seems like something always comes up and I miss hearing the podcast live. And Sunday night was no exception. I finally got tuned in right before your last caller. Oh, well, I'll listen to the recording anyway. And that's exactly why we put those out on the next Thursday, because that happens to me all the time, too, for other shows. I wanted to let you know, let you and your listeners know that there is another way to help Give Kids the World when making purchases through Amazon. If you have an Amazon account, you can go to smile.amazon.com to register your account and pick your charity. Amazon then donates 0.5% of your total purchase price on all eligible purchases. You must register your account and be logged into www.smile.amazon.com at the time of checkout in order for this to work. I know that 0.5% doesn't seem like much, but if there is a lot of us doing it, it could really add up and help Give Kids the World. Thanks. I hope we can spread the word throughout the Disney community and really make a difference for this wonderful, wonderful charitable organization. That's Tom Urbane, and he's in Cresson, Pennsylvania. So very cool there, Pam. I didn't know that. I know that they can do like links to, you know, folks trying to support their cause, but you know, that's cool. You know, 0.5%, like he says, not much, but if a lot of people do it, it adds up.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. And who doesn't shop at Amazon? I mean, right? I can't live without Prime. That's all I have to say. Seriously. So me and Prime are BFFs. So,
all right. So thank you for that. We appreciate that, Thomas. Tell your son we said hello. And smile.amazon.com. Check it out today. All right. Next question comes from Joseph Healy. And he says, Mike and gang, I've only been listening to your podcast for a few months, so pardon me if this subject has already been discussed on the show at some point. But I'd love to hear all of the stories about how you guys came to love Disney. I love hearing these stories because no two are the same. My Disney story starts when I was 15 years old, just a little over 10 years ago. I was set to go on a trip down to the world with my dad, my stepmom, and my little brother and sister, who were 7 and 4 at the time. At the time, I was very much at the age where a Disney vacation with my family should not have appealed to me. I left for this trip expecting to have a reasonably good time, in the same way that a family vacation to the beach would have been a reasonably good time. As far as I was concerned, going on this trip would be lounging on the couch in my summer baseball practices in 90-degree heat, my normal summer activities at the very least. But then the strangest thing happened. I had a fantastic time. Well, except for the fact that my stepmom made us all wear matching t-shirts because she thought it would help keep us from getting separated.
Oh,
yeah.
I've actually heard Hotchberg wear matching t-shirts once.
He did. He mentioned it recently. Anyway,
just kidding. I think he loved it. I think he said it was his idea.
I think he does it.
Anyway, another, back to the email. That was mortifying and made it really tough to flirt with girls. That's funny.
Yeah, it kind of crept your game.
Like his mama didn't plan that one.
Yeah, so it was very tough. Flirting with girls he met in the parks, but other than that, it was the time of his life, he says. The way I thought of it was that it was by far the most comprehensive vacation I'd ever experienced. It wasn't just the parks. It was the resort. It was the restaurant experiences. And for that matter, it was even enjoying the little things like the monorail. And there was something for everyone. We had 5 people in our party in 3 different age brackets, and no one was bored or just looking forward to being home. And the rest, they say, is history. By the time the vacation was over, I was hooked. I knew that if that place could have that type of an effect on me, a typical 15-year-old boy, it was a pretty special place. Thanks for all you guys do, and keep up the good work. Best, Joe, and he's from Carlinville, Illinois, just across the river there, not too far across from St. Louis. So just a quick kind of synopsis, you know, your Disney story, because, you know, we've done this. I believe everybody did their story. If you just search over at brguestpodcast.podbean.com, go up to the search box and type in like My Disney Story or something,
or the
like
wiki.
Or the wiki that Andrew maintains over at brguestpodcast.com. Click on the link for the wiki. That's probably your best source. Mm-hmm. So, Debbie, really quickly, how did you all of a sudden end up where you are today on a Disney podcast?
I am on the podcast.
Well, no, not that, but I mean, it started with your love of Disney. So where did that start?
Thank you. Yes. Well, I went as a young teenager. I went many, 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 many years ago with our family. And then there was a big hiatus to where it was fun. We had a great time, but we went to so many other places, but we didn't go back to Disney. So fast forward to when I became an adult, I had a job opportunity that took me to, it was a big conference, to Orlando, and we stayed at this massive hotel, the Hyatt, that one of the big ones. Mm-hmm. And so we had such a good time, and I thought, you know, because I was going to be here in Orlando, Disney World's here. I haven't been here since I was a young teenager, so why not do it again? So I did all this research, and the more I started researching what I wanted to do with my one day that I was going to have at Disney, I got more and more excited, and that's when the planning bug hit me. So then I took the whole day, I threw on my socks, shoes, and shorts, and away I went, on top, of course, and I went to the parks, and I went to Magic Kingdom. That's all I had time for. And I did everything but Timekeeper. They had just closed Timekeeper for the day. I'm like, ugh. So that's how I started mine. And I said, that's it. I have not seen everything. I'm coming back. And I've been back every year since.
I know. It's funny how that start, you know, could be a work convention, could be, you know, I love these type stories. So, Pam, what was it for you that got you first? I mean, I know you kind of grew up around Disney more than like I did. Yeah. So go ahead.
We did. We did. I mean, I went in the 70s. That was my first trip. We stayed at the Polynesian. We went a few more times growing up, which I don't think was really typical. People don't go a bunch of times, didn't go at that time to Disney a few times. But we did. There was something about it. My family, you know, always went. My mom and dad got divorced when I was in elementary school, but my dad lived in Southern California. So I also went to Disneyland when we went there, lived not too far from there. So, I mean, I really kind of grew up on Disney, and when Steve and I got married, we honeymooned in Disney. We went to Disney World. We traveled often as soon as Hannah was born. It's just always been a part of my life, and I was, you know, lucky enough to get to have a career that kind of, you know, came out of this. Certainly not what I went to college for, but having fun, getting to do what I like to do every day. So it's really just a part of my life, and it's not going anywhere.
Isn't it weird though, like, you know, how one thing leads to the second, and then all yes. of a sudden, I mean, right now we're so far down the line, but it's, you know, because, you know, it used to be just something like you would have to kind of consciously think about, oh, I want to go look up, you know, read a guidebook or something. But now it's like a lot of us, as soon as we get, you know, awake in the morning, we're on our smartphone talking with our Disney friends and checking the news. Like, Ricky, I know that's what you do because with your blog and everything. But, you know, it's just like it. There's not really separating Disney from life anymore. You know, mm-hmm. kind of what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It's interesting. So, Ricky, what's your story?
Went to Disney as a kid, hated it, absolutely terrified of it. Didn't go back until, well, we went back about every 4 years, I guess. And then, when I was, I guess I was in college, we'd gone when I was 16 and 18, cause my dad went to the Super Bowl, so we went to Florida instead. So we did that, and then that's sort of when it started hitting me a little bit more. And then when I was, in college, all my friends went to different schools, so I thought that a great way to get together would be for all of us to go down to Orlando, just to have some fun. I was just looking for a fun, unique thing to do with it, with my friends, and so I, much like Debbie, started doing the planning, and the planning bug is really kind of, like she said, that's kind of what did it for me, and so I got on WW Magic, and I've been in the Disney bubble ever since. So over 10 years now I've
been. That's interesting. Yeah. And that's one of those big forums back in the day. I mean, that was it. I mean, yeah. Everybody was on the forums.
Exactly.
You either went to WDW Magic or Disboards.
That's it. Yep.
All right, so mine was just real quick. You know, my dad was a catcher for John Denny, who was a pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies in the 1980s. He offered to fly our family down to Florida to spring training as they broke spring training, and we drove his van with his two poodles after they broke spring training from Clearwater, where they had spring training, up to Philadelphia for opening day, because he had to get his dogs there. You know, he traveled with the team and he needed his van to get back to Philly. So, you know, we said, hey, you know, we'll do that. So we swung through what we call Walt Disney World that day for a half day, went to the Magic Kingdom. It rained. But I remember just walking around that place thinking, this is like the coolest. Like, everything here is so cool looking. And I didn't get back until college, but then it was just one of those things that, you know, I remember pulling up to French Quarter at night. The first time I ever saw Walt Disney World Resort. And if you've ever pulled into French Quarter at night, they have that canopy of just, it seems like a million light bulbs. Mm-hmm. And then you know, you go to the check-in desk and there's soft jazz music playing. And then once you pass through the check-in desk, you're walking the streets of New Orleans. These miniature streets with all these different facings of every basically every room, every building looks slightly different with different colored paints, and those, they look like gas lights, and you got the boats going up and down the Sasagula. I mean, I had never seen anything like that. It was just unbelievable. And, you know, once I got home, I got, again, went to the library, checked out every book I could find, got online. I remember one of the first communities I found was that group that made those reservations for the Cinderella's Royal Table every morning. It was with that, like, Rita Arrow book or something. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they were, you know, it was like a huge controversy because they're like somebody's angels or something. They would, remember that? They would schedule, like, ADRs for Cinderella's Royal Table, and they had, like, a little community you could go on. This is, like, when the internet was still pretty young. Man, I feel old now, but
I know, right?
You went onto this, like, site, and it had, like, a, like, graphical interface where you would go to, like, message boards here in this room, and that's, you know, depending on what topic you wanted to read about. But that's kind of how it all got started. And then, you know, you kind of merge and find people, and that's where it all is. So we're all here. We'd love to hear your story, though. So send those in to mikebrguestpodcast.com. We'll share those here on the show.
Absolutely.
Cool.
All right. Next question today. We're going to call this the last one because this looks like a biggie. So here we go. It is from our good friend Simon over in the UK. And he says, "Hello, hey, Ricky, Pam, Debbie, and Mike. Sorry, Mike, but ladies go first."
And I like that I was first.
That's right. Before I go into my question, I just wanted to say a big thank you to your podcast. I'm a longtime listener from Bristol in the UK and came across your podcast when we came back from our first family trip to the world back in 2010. Your podcast helped me get over the Disney blues when I got back home, and I have been listening ever since. Thank you. We have booked up a month-long trip of a lifetime in August 2015 for my 40th birthday, and we'll be traveling with my 8-year-old son, 14-year-old daughter, and my wife. We are starting our vacation with a short 4-night stay over in Universal Studios, and we'll be staying on site at Lowe's Portofino Bay, hopefully in the Despicable Me Suites. We will be making use of the on-site Quick Pass and 1-hour early entry at Harry Potter. We will then transfer to the Disney Beach Club Resort for 17 nights, followed by a 3-night Bahama cruise on the Dream, and we'll be staying concierge level in the one-bedroom suite. Once we disembark from the cruise, we'll be making our last switch to the Grand Floridian and again staying concierge for the last 2 nights before we fly back home to cold and gloomy London. I'm just saying, you're doing it right, Simon.
The most
just
awesome
for the record,
trip ever.
Haven't got to the question, but
no.
If you need somebody to watch the kids, man, I'm available.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, here we go. So the question that I have is that during our 17-night stay at Beach Club, we have free dining and intend on using the dining plan table service credits. I can't even imagine four people for 17
gosh.
Nights. Like, I can't even do the math that high. Anyway, it says something. I teach math in elementary school. So let's get back to the question. He wants to use them for breakfast reservations at Cinderella's Royal Table early one morning. We do this every trip so that we can have a photo in front of the castle without any other guests in the background. We will also be making reservations at Chef Mickey's, Akershus Royal Banquet, Cape May Cafe, and other reservations would be the Disney Spirit of Aloha Dinner Show, which I really like. I know a lot of people don't. Fantasmic Dinner Package and California Grill. These reservations seem to be the smartest way of getting the best bang for your buck. However, with the remaining dining plan table service credits, we'll be planning standard reservations such as Via Napoli, Be Our Guest, etc. My concern is that my daughter, who is 14, really won't eat much from the adult menu and will be wasting an adult plan table service credit, as she would probably want to eat from the younger kids menu as she is a picky eater. Are we able to pay for remaining meals using my adult credit, my wife's adult credit, my son's adult credit, and pay cash for my daughter's meal, which will enable us to save up her single adult credit that she would otherwise order a cheaper kids meal? This could work out to be a big savings, as my wife and I could look at having dinner another 3 to 4 higher price meals during the using the dining plan table service credits. Keep up the great work, and I look forward to your answers. Take care, Simon Purnell from Bristol, UK. All right, so what I think he's asking is, if you're on the dining plan, basically if everybody at the table has to use their entitlements there, and I would say that you're going to be able to do that. I mean, back me up here, Pam, but I think they could use, like, if there's four of them, use the 3 adult credits there. Just pay out of pocket for the daughter if she doesn't want to use that. And like you say, you could maybe do some signatures down the line and save those. I mean, if you do this, you're 17 nights. I mean, you could really,
yeah.
I mean, you're talking about accruing a lot of chances for signature meals. So could you not do that, Pam?
Yeah, absolutely. But at buffets, if your daughter is 10, or above, I mean, you will have to pay the adult price.
Right.
They will not let you. So that's something to think about. At a regular sit-down meal, your daughter can feel free to order from the kids' menu. And that would be fine. And absolutely, you should save that adult credit. But when you're at a buffet or a character meal, they will charge the adult price for that. Because according to Disney, she's an adult by dining standards. So absolutely, save those credits where you can and use them to go to some signature restaurants. I think it's a great use of extra credits, especially in your case, because it just is, you know, it is an opportunity to try some of those 2-credit restaurants. And there are so many great ones. Mm-hmm. And I will just tell you, Flying Fish, Gico, California Grill, you know, all some of my favorite spots. So give one of those a try.
Yeah, I want to bring this up, too, because we just have like 1 minute left, and you know, because that, we're going to wrap it up with that question. But we heard the Cat Cuisinas is going out, or Cat Cora's.
Yeah, Cat Cora Cuisina.
Okay,
yeah,
whatever
it's
it is.
Rosina, all... Cuisina restaurant. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Whatever, a lot of hard C's there. So you have to. That's going out over at the Boardwalk. But, Ricky, do you know if any, cause was there been an announcement what's going in? I know Andrew called in and asked on one of the other podcast live shows, and I haven't heard.
Yeah, no. As of right now, there has been nothing announced that's going in there. All we know is that it is closing, and that is closing on September 30th. So if you're a really big fan of Cuisina and you want to head over there you know, before it closes, you have until September 30th to get there. So after that, no idea what Disney has in mind yet, but they have, I mean, obviously they have something in mind because I think the next restaurant's supposed to open in the fall. So not much turnaround time there, you know, if you think about it.
So they've announced that one's going to open, but they haven't said what it is.
Correct. As far as I know, they've said, yeah, we're going to put in a new restaurant in the fall, which of course can go all the way till, you know, December,
yep.
But and probably will.
Into January.
Yeah, into January. That's close enough. Yeah. So, but yeah, so there's something going in there. We just don't know what it is yet, but I'm sure that they'll announce it sometime soon-ish.
Pam, did you ever eat at Cuisinas?
Yeah, I've eaten there a few times, and I've had really good experiences to okay experience there. It was just, for me, it wasn't always consistent, and I think that was the problem. I also think that, I really liked the breakfast that they used to have with Spoodles. I thought it was actually one of the better breakfasts on property, and it just, you know, I was sad to see that go, and I didn't think the breakfast at Cuisina was quite as good. So anyways, that's my humble opinion, of course, but I'll be interested to see what Disney does, because it's really such a prime location. The Boardwalk, of course, the Boardwalk Inn is right there, but also Yacht and Beach Club are a short walk away. Epcot is not that far away. It's a great way to end your night, whether you're staying for Illuminations or not. You could do, you know, whatever restaurant will be there after Illuminations or before Illuminations if you want to. So I really am looking forward to seeing what Disney puts there.
I'm actually curious to see if it's going to be a Disney restaurant or, you know, one of the, you know, like Cuisina was done by Cat Cora. So I wonder if it'll be,
right,
you know, outside company, or whether it will be a Disney restaurant. That'll be interesting to see what happens.
It will be interesting.
It is a prime location, though. I mean, you have lots of, you know, resort guests there, deluxe resort guests, but I mean, you're also very close to Epcot. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, some people don't want to go into the parks. You just want to walk the Boardwalk and have a nice meal.
Yep.
That's a great way to spend an evening, too.
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, today's episode has been brought to you by the great folks over at virtualmickey.com. Drop by there today. I recommend Days to Go WDW because we all have our next Disney vacation on the horizon. Even if it's a couple, you know, 3, 4, 5, even 12 months out. Hey, every day you can get excited for that upcoming vacation by having this app right there on your device. Drop by virtualmickey.com. Check out all the great iPhone apps. Support the folks who support us. Again, virtualmickey.com. The next BR Guest Podcast Live show is going to come your way on Sunday night, July 20th. That's the anniversary of the moon landing, so it'll be kind of spacey during that show.
Oh,
but yes, it'll be on July 20th, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. Make your plans to join us over on MagicalMouseRadio.com. Don't forget, MagicalMouseRadio.com plays great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Even when I'm sailing out on the Disney Dream next week, the music will not stop. It'll be there for you all the time. Check it out today over at MagicalMouseRadio.com. This is a great time to give us a follow on Twitter, because I'll be tweeting from the journey down to Walt Disney World, actually to Cocoa Beach right off the bat. We're going to stay at a cool hotel, the La Quinta. La Quinta, because the astronauts used to own this hotel back in the day. So check me out on Twitter at BRGuestMike, also on Instagram at BRGuestMike. Lots of pictures coming your way over the next few weeks. Also drop by the Facebook group. We just passed 2,300 likes on there, and lots of friends always talking on the Facebook group, facebook.com/BRGuestPodcast. And of course, join the friendliest forums on the internet. They are still there. We have lots of conversations going on over there. We have something big planned for the forums coming up in July as well. So drop by there today. Again, brguestpodcast.com/forums. So we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your week. Thank you so much for downloading today's show, for coming back for another One Commute Question Show. And again, send in your questions for future shows to mike@beourguestpodcast.com. For Ricky, Debbie, and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great midweek. Continue to work hard, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.